And that's it. It's over. This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers.
They are the kings of the bubble, the Lakers. Let's touch base. Let's go stateside and get the reaction from LA and find out how it's all going with the celebrations in tow at the moment. Mike Trudell is a sideline reporter for the Lakers and co-host of Thompson and Trudell for all the latest sporting news in LA. He's good enough to join us on the Breakfast Club. Welcome, Mike.
Guys, it's my pleasure. I know how many Laker fans and NBA fans there are in Australia, so it is always, always a pleasure to join you folks down under. What's happening today?
It's all happening. We're looking, basking in the afterglow of a magnificent performance by your boys, the Lakers, in the bubble at Disneyland. A remarkable series, a remarkable season in many ways, isn't it? And we were talking this morning, Mike, about how big it would have been at the Staples Center with the storylines throughout the year of, you know, the Kobe tragedy early doors, LeBron's first Western Conference final championship. Like, there's so many storylines that it would have been massive had we had crowds at the Staples Center to watch it all unfold. Do we miss a trick there by not having it?
There's no question about it, right? But that's kind of been the story of 2020, right? It's been a difficult year, and I think that the inverse, though, right, the other way, is that they wouldn't have won the title, and that would have sucked worse. So this was the best possible solution for how this season could have possibly ended. And I remember back, so my first year working with the Lakers was in 2008-2009, and of course that year they win the championship in Orlando against the Magic. And I remember at the time, so, you know, winning on the road, because then of course the Lakers win the title at home next year against Boston, but winning on the road was really special because it's just the team there. And so, you know, there's a big party in the hotel ballroom. All the players are there. There's a couple family members, some of the executives, but really it's kind of a small traveling party. And that, you know, that's like, for me, that will be a lifelong memory. And Kobe's daughters were there, by the way. Kobe's wife was like, and just being able to look over and seeing him holding his little girls. Like, those are the kind of memories I think that these guys now will have. So for the team itself, it's still super special, and it still pays off what they had accomplished. Of course, for the fan base at large, that's where, you know, you feel bad. You don't get that chance to really revel in it as a group. But hopefully, right, guys, depending on how the United States continues to do with COVID, and of course that has not been great, hopefully that continues to improve. Hopefully at some point next year a vaccine comes along and you know, you're able to get some of those big crowds and buildings again. And at that point, you know, then you can get that kind of full celebration. It's not the same as at the time, but at least you'll hopefully get that at some point.
It's finally happened. The Lakers are the champions again. It's taken a while, and obviously it helps when you've got LeBron. But can you, for someone that like you that have been covering the team for such a long time, are you surprised at how quickly it's happened? Is it what you expected? Take us through all of that.
Yeah, so this is where you have to really kind of gauge expectation, you know, based on what the fan base is. And I wish I had the Australian football or like the rugby equivalent to what a team is that is so dominant that not winning every year is like a true hurt for the fan base. Because there are a lot of teams in the NBA where if it had been 10 years between titles, I mean, hell, that would be incredible. Right, but that's not how it is for the Lakers because they have had such success over the course of the history, and that's just what life is about, right? It's about what you expected at the beginning of the season. I do think, though, that if you are a Lakers fan, if you're somebody that follows the team, there's always that sort of confidence that another star is coming at some point. It typically doesn't take that long. You know, I think the longest stretch that you've seen is anywhere between 7 to 10 years. You know, the gap between Magic and Kareem and Shaq and Kobe, the gap between Kobe and Pau Gasol and then LeBron, right, is always in that 7 to 10 year mix. And right now, Anthony Davis remains in his absolute prime at 27. And LeBron, for somebody that's 35, I mean, could he have looked better in the finals? Right, he was just spectacular. He does not look like he's slowing down anytime soon either. And so that is, I think, the expectation that the Lakers have, but it's for a reason, right? It's because that's what's been right in front of them. And so to me, I am not surprised. I did figure even when they were struggling in those in-between years, I knew it was always a matter of getting rid of some of the bad contracts. There were two of them, and of using those young players either to attract a free agent or to use in a trade. And it turns out they did both, right? They attracted LeBron in free agency, and then they made a trade for Anthony Davis. Then you fill in the veterans around him, and boom, you're in contention again.
Tell us about LeBron, Mike, and the impact he has. I mean, there's lots of debate about who's the greatest, and you can talk about that all day long if you need to. But what LeBron's been able to do is win championships in different conferences with three different teams. He won it at the Heat. He went to the Cavs and took them to their first one. And he's gone to LA now and got them back on the top of the heap and made 17 championships in the first time in 10 years. He must be an amazing team man as well as a guru, an absolute gun on the court, of course, as a solo athlete. But his ability to bring people together must be very unique.
There's no question. I mean, he's one of the greatest leaders, I think, not just in basketball, but in team sports. And one of the things that I think goes undersold and undertold about LeBron is just how available he is. Right? He is, barring, of course, and this is why it was unfortunate for the Lakers last year, the Lakers, that was the first injury that he's had, and it wasn't a major injury in the terms of a, you know, and I'll knock on wood here, and I'm not speaking specifically about LeBron, but you fill in your gap of any major injury, right? He had a pulled groin. And now that is, I'm not saying it's not a major injury, but it's something that eventually heals, right? You don't have to get it operated upon, typically. Nonetheless, it basically ended the Lakers season. And that's the only time in his career, going back again to 2003, that he's had an injury that's forced him out for a significant period of time. And so the fact that he's able to be on the court, he is so multi-talented that if he's on the court, you are going to get basically the best way to put it, I suppose, is your floor is extremely high. If LeBron is on the court, your floor is extremely high. You're not going to have too many poor performances. And then around that, you know, he's also kind of a uniter, right? He's goofy. He's fun. He's in the text chain. That's not to say that he doesn't have high expectations that he will put out maybe in a different way from the way that Kobe Bryant did. But it's still a remarkable way of keeping everybody on the same page and also driving them towards success. And so it's been very... it's been very interesting and inspirational to watch the way that he's brought this team along with him. And that, I think, has been part of the key reason why the Lakers are the champions.
And speaking of leaders, Frank Vogel is the first-year coach with the Lakers. He's got a championship, which is a good effort first up. It's a nice thing to do. But since Phil Jackson won the last one in 2010, there's been six head coaches of the Lakers. Is he a long-termer, or is this just a guy to lead this generation?
Yeah, it's hard to get off to a better start than what Frank Vogel has done this year, right? I mean, I think the thing that is also going to do him well, and hopefully he is the coach of the Lakers for a very long time, is that he was so humble about it. You know, he didn't come in and say that it has to be a certain way. He collaborated with LeBron.
Well, it looks like we might have lost Mike there.
Gave Rob credit. He gave Jeannie credit. Like, this is a guy who, he's very confident, and so don't let the smile mistake the hard work and, you know, the capacity that he has. But that, to me, is a very important part for a coach, for, you know, a manager, depending on what sport you're talking about. Like, that is something that he has, and it's the combination of the work and then also the ease of personality. And you've seen NBA coaches go the other way, where it's my way or the highway. And I don't think that would have worked as well in the situation. So, but, like, honestly, guys, the thing that Laker fans and the Lakers organization and any great organization in the world in any sport, they ultimately care most about winning. And that's what Frank Vogel is now associated with. And if you want to be the head coach of the Lakers, you have to win. That's just how it is. It's not and I think that expectation is okay to have. Now, by the way, I was just thinking about this. You guys, when games are on, what is it, usually like noon or 1 p.m.? In Australia, in Melbourne?
Normally it's mid morning, right? Mid to late morning, 10, 11 a.m.
So that is amazing. Like, so to me, that's like, when I wake up in the morning, I'm a big English Premier League fan in soccer. I like to watch Barcelona sometimes as well, but Manchester United is my team. And like, I'll wake up. Sometimes their games are on at 6 a.m. and that's tough. But when they're on, it's a night game in England and they're on in the middle of the day here, oh, it's glorious. And I don't get any work done. So, what do Laker fans in Australia do during the workday? You know, when a game is on at 1 p.m. How do you guys account for that?
Well, they don't get much work done. A bit like you, Mike. They don't get much work done. They just enjoy the show, particularly with LeBron leading the charge, and they are still celebrating like you will be and like all Lakers fans across the globe will be at the moment. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. We're going to follow you on Twitter, at Lakers Reporter, and listen online to the Thompson and Trudell show as well. Good on you, Mike. Thanks very much.
Okay, guys. Thanks so much. Take care.